This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Well, welcome to our show today. It's going to be a great show. And the first part is brought to you by Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street. And that's right beside the Gateway Tire Center in the Strip Mall. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Everly buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. They have vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. And for a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners today at the Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street. And they now have a second store at 5631 New Nashville Highway. And give them a call at 890-2646. Well, we have Mr. Butch Campbell on again. And he has his partner in crime, Bobby Gardner. And this ought to be a great show because we're going to talk about a lot of things. And, of course, it's your show, like I always tell you, Butch. So what do you want to talk about today? And I know that there's a variety of subjects. And maybe I'll lead off. Let's talk a little bit about the timekeepers, especially at the basketball game, because that has really come to the forefront. And that's something that you've been doing for a lot of years.
I have, and it has come to the forefront in some places, but luckily we haven't had major problems at middle, which is good. I guess it really, well, no, it wasn't the time, though, at Western, was it? It was just too many people on the floor. But I will tell you this, that since that incident happened with Western and Lafayette, every crew that has come in to officiate men or women's basketball at middle since that time, we have talked about that situation and just exactly what our role as the table crew, what role we do we have a role, what role do we have? And Truman, to be honest with you, we've gotten different answers from different crews, but the way that crew says do it, that's the way we would do it if it were to happen.
Well, I guess it's just like watching a ball game. You see the referees, they're going to see things different from one group to another. And it doesn't matter whether it's basketball or football or whatever. But you guys actually get together and you map out what you're going to be doing for that particular game so everybody's on the same page.
Correct. We meet with the officials usually an hour before game time. Mm-hmm. Bobby and I and Mike Sams. Mike does the shot clock. And we all three go down and meet with the officials and jab for a few minutes, but then we also listen to them on anything particular that they want done. And usually it's the same thing with every crew. But since the situation at Western, that's been a topic that we have asked about and talked about. And I guess primarily did that because one of the officials who was a Final Four official last year, Tom Eads, told me on the phone. I talked to him after that situation, and he said, "But you need to ask every crew when they come in what they want you to do if that situation were to happen."
Now, how do you guys stay focused out there? Because I know you hear the term homer, but I know that you guys are not that way. You're pure professionals, always have been. But yet you still have to get caught up in the game somewhere. But there you have to stay focused on what your duties are. But yet sometimes things get so exciting. How in the world do you hold your attention?
Butch grabs a hold of me every once in a while. And I've been known to get a little too excited. But truly, we are an extension of those three people on the floor. Mm-hmm. And they tell us that. And we feel that way. But you cannot be a fan and work at the table. You cannot show any emotion, if you will. Although inside you're dying with mm-hmm. every turnover or made shot or whatever. But you just got to be really really careful about applauding or showing any kind of emotion. And that even carries over. I've not been in many, but a few after the game in the interview rooms and stuff. There is absolutely no.
Well, after the game is over with, and do you guys get together again? Do you go over what happened, or you don't do that? You don't recap the things, or
Bobby usually has to stay longer than Mike and I because he's got to tally up the book and all. But after it's over, it's over, and we're up and gone. And if there's a situation, we may get together before the next home game mm-hmm. when we're there, and talk about it. And we've done that with the officials. If something happened, they'll always ask, well, is everything working good? Has anything happened? And sometimes if something has happened that we're not real sure of, we'll ask the question. And the officials that come in the middle are all good officials. I know, you know, the crowd doesn't always look at it that way, but we mm-hmm. have had some, well, I guess in men and women both, more men than women, but we've had some at middle that have worked the NCAA finals mm-hmm. before, and some that have gone maybe just to the semifinals, and of course that's a different ball of wax too once you get deciding on who those are.
Can you tell the difference in officials that have been there for some time on how they're able to control the game and make sure that everything is done according to the way it should be? And I guess you probably also see some officials are going to call fouls and things like that different than others. And that's one thing that's always kind of puzzled me, to be honest with you. And I've had a number of people on here, even the ones that have been over the officials. And I still don't understand how they can stay, supposed to be staying consistent during that, but the calls sometimes seem just the opposite. They're inconsistent, and I'm not really berating the officials because I know they've got a tough job, but it's hard to stay within in that realm.
I know that basketball is...
Thanks for passing it over to
I know that basketball is the most difficult sport there is to officiate,
yeah. uh-huh.
And that's because, and even more so now, because the kids are so athletic, mm-hmm. they are so quick, things happen in just a split second, mm-hmm. and there's so many, and it's what we call them, I hate to say it's 50-50 because that means that you're guessing, but it's so close mm-hmm. that it's a really difficult thing to do to be a top-notch Division I basketball official now. And I would say probably in the country there's probably, I don't know, 40 butts that
probably
are considered, if you will, year in and year out to do all of the tournaments. And when you get to that level, they almost command a respect.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they know what they're doing. They act like, and now I'm talking about now from a professional point of view. Now, mm-hmm. if you're a fan, of course, none of them. My wife has never seen a good official, never. And they just carry a presence mm-hmm. that even the coaches on, and it's a shame to say, but we get those officials on Thursday night
mm-hmm.
in the Sun Belt, and that's just a fact. Because on Saturday night, they're somewhere else. They're at Kansas, or they're at Syracuse, or they're at Kentucky. They're in the ACC. But
are they already preset when the year starts at which officials you're going to have? Because with MTSU really playing great ball, both in women's and men's ball, I mean, they're nationally known.
Is that a draw to the officials? Coach Massaro does. I think it's done at the beginning of the year, and the contracts are signed. Now, I wouldn't swear to that. Maybe they do till Christmas, and then they do it after Christmas. I don't know. But I know that they all have contracts, and they all know where they're going. The officials know where they're going months ahead. But matter of fact, they are so It is so their schedule is so hectic that they have people that do that for them. They'll call like on a Monday morning and they'll say, okay, now where am I this week? And what's my connection? And where do I get the car? And what, you know, because they just, it's so, so much travel is involved. They're all over the place. But I'm pretty sure that Mr. Massaro does all of that. Or maybe Diane might do the ladies. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think that's probably done before the year starts.
If we play out of conference team here,
that's also contract. I mean, sometimes the team won't come unless you have that. Like maybe a Vandy comes in or a UT, they might not come unless they have SEC officials.
Now, see, that's not fair, is it? Well, I'm not going to ask you that because I don't think you should have to answer that question. But you know, when MTSU went to Vandy, that was an SEC officials there. And you always want to say that they're non-biased and they're going to call the game no matter which conference there is. But there's always that element of worry there. And you really shouldn't be able to utilize that. And, guys, we're going to have of course, Bobby Gardner's already got his earphones on.
He's waiting on that.
Yeah.
Butch, he's been in radio before. He's a professional.
Yes, he is a professional. He really should be doing the interview. Caller, welcome aboard with Bobby Gardner and Butch Campbell.
Well, Truman, I'll have to say you've got two real professionals on today. And I go to basketball games everywhere, but at Middle Tennessee, you never have to worry about, you know, the desk over there. And I reckon I've ever seen a coach go up and question, you know, Bob Gardner or Butch Campbell, and that says a lot for the people that's working the book and the clock over there. Well, they do a great job.
Well, you know, that's something very odd, Larry, because I rarely hear you compliment officials of any kind. Is that because of the great friends?
Well, I didn't talk about the officials on the floor. I'm talking about the desk. Now, we're convinced that the officials could do a better job refereeing from Section F because we all do. You know, and you sit up there, you know, for a half until you couldn't stand it anymore and you had to leave. But you know what a great job we do officiating up there in Section F.
Yes, I do. I do. In fact, I had to leave because you guys were calling so much attention to our area over there. I had to go over to Section 9. It was in.
I think you said I'm going over with my wife because she don't holler as much as your wife. It's exactly what you said.
I will have
to say that my daughter thought that she got a text from the scorer's table the other night, but she must have been mistaken because those guys are really professionals over there.
Well, was that inquiring about something?
I think they were probably asking her about how things were going in Section F. I don't know.
Well, you and I were there one night, and I still it hasn't been, about 3 weeks ago that it seemed like the clock stopped and they couldn't get it going again.
Well, that was not the operator's fault.
Oh, it was?
That was equipment failure.
Thank you. It does happen at times, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And then, but once we got it set, everybody was happy, gave him a standing ovation, and we went on getting the truth.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you go. I just want to tell you what a great job those guys do. And we got a big week of coming up this week, man. We got to win three this week or four.
We need to fill the stadium or fill that arena, particularly against Western Kentucky.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw Julius Brown Saturday, and he assured me it was going to be full Saturday for Legends. And I'll say the 63 through 67 will be well represented because I talked to Ray Kemp today, and he's coming in, and Bobby will be there. We'll just have a great time that Saturday at Legends Day.
That sounds great.
Truman,
thank you, Larry.
You were asking about the officials.
We're going. Let's get one more phone call. That's caller, good. Welcome aboard with Bobby Gardner and Butch Campbell.
Hey, Butchie boy.
Hi, Johnny boy. How are you?
All right. What's going on?
Well, I don't know. We're trying to make things work right here. We're having a little tough time at times, but we're chucking along anyway.
Well, you're giving some excellent answers to some of the questions that have come up. So I just want to let you know Ruby and I are sitting here listening to you. and enjoying the program.
Well, thank you. Truman, John, that's John Todd. And every time that John Todd, now John sits behind us, right up on the very top on the rail, top row of the seats. And every time, and this has been going on for how long, Bobby? I don't know,
20
for
years.
But every time when John walks in there, sometime before that game starts, if you're on our side, you can hear John holler, "Butchie boy!" And I immediately, my responsibility is to turn right around and holler back, "Johnny boy!" And we've been doing that for I don't know how long. And that's part of the good time and the fun time we have.
Well, that came about, I think, even when we were officiating football together. We would holler that sometimes back and forth to each other. And that's kind of carried over for a very, very long time.
We have a good time doing it. John is an excellent basketball official and football official as well. John does a tremendous job. I always enjoyed working with him when I could and did for a lot of games. A lot of these officials serve more than one conference. They may be Sun Belt, they may be ACC, they may be SEC.
Big East, Big Ten, Big 12, or whatever they call it. They go out west. They go everywhere.
And then,
now, are we talking about basketball now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the commissioner, who are the assigning officer, and I think each official has to determine what their number one choice for conference games is. And then somehow these commissioners make these assignments, and I guess after the official gets all the assignments, say, up until Christmas, then they can pick the games that they want to go to or the sites they want to go to. And I would assume that part of that has to do with game fee. Some of these fellows that have worked up the ladder, you know, to the semifinals of the NCAA and the finals, they're compensated well and should be. And some of them will start in early November, and they may not be home a night until Christmas, and then they may be home one night then, and then they're back on the road again. So it's a very trying time, I would say, for them on trying to meet their schedule and catching a plane here and a clutch. We had one last year who was going to Florida, wasn't he, to Miami?
Yes.
And he told me, he said, "Well, come on, you can go with me." And I said, "Okay, what time?" And he said, "We'll be at the airport tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Okay. Well, of course, I didn't go. But then he came back in the middle one night this year, and he said, "I missed you last year waiting on that plane flight." And I said, "Well, where are you going tomorrow?" And I forgot where he said, but he said he had to be at the airport at 5:30. So he's working a game until 10 o'clock that night, and then he's got to get up and get ready and be in good physical shape wherever he's going to go the next night, and whether or not they've got to fight weather problems that they get, and that's those sort of things. It's a job. I think part of the reason that Bobby and Mike and I get along so well, and we certainly have compassion for each other on the job that they do, is because we have all officiated. Mike done football. Bobby did some high school basketball and coached high school. I did many years of high school basketball, and we can understand, maybe more so than the general fan, that no matter where you are on that floor, what you see may look a little bit different. The hardest call, I think, that they say in basketball is the block charge. And you may be standing at the top of the key and see it one way, rather than the person that's a lead official underneath the basket may see it another way.
Well, you're always going to see, if you call it against the home team, you're going to have whatever that population or how many the attendance is there that night. They're all going to be against you, no matter how you call that. But I have seen it in slow motion, where they're trying to determine something's going on. But if it's a charge or a block, sometimes you can't even tell in slow motion because it's just a bang bang type play, and you think, well, officials are human. They can't see everything.
True.
I mean, it's impossible. But you've got sometimes 10, 15,000 people out there that are seeing everything that supposedly is going on. And to me, that's one of the toughest jobs. I think being a basketball referee is the toughest of all of the officials. But with instant replay and everything else that goes on, like they do with televising games, I'm not too sure where the umpire in football, because you see all the things that are going on in that line with all the linemen against each other and the holding calls or whatever. Saw one last night in the Super Bowl, and it was against the Giants, and they showed that three or four times, and I still could not determine where that was a hold or not. But a friend of mine, Russ Pulley, he is an umpire in the SEC in football. And he says you never throw a flag, or you're not supposed to throw a flag, unless you're 100% sure that a penalty has been involved. And that's pretty tough.
It is tough. And we saw that on the pass play late in the ball game that that Manning threw, you know. And
unbelievable play.
And you could see the official 5 yards, maybe 10 yards, and he was turned back looking at the sideline, and to see both those feet touch before he went out of bounds, and that was a major call, and he got it right, looked like.
And he just barely touching the toe, one of them, as it goes out, and you have to determine that the toe was touching and he has control of the ball at the same time. You almost have to be superhuman to make those calls.
Yeah, it's a tough job. And like the call we were talking about that 100 million people saw last night, and I was with probably 10 people, and half of us said he was in, half of us said he was out.
Mm-hmm.
And the official was right there and just was all over it. I'd like to see the statistics on the I'm glad they have the replay, because hopefully they get it right. The main thing that the officials want, be it any sport, is get it right. Let's get it right.
Mm-hmm.
But I with the instant replay now, I don't know what the percentage would be, how many are turned over. You know, like they went against what the official said on the field. I don't know if it's 50-50, or I don't know what it is. But I know if they, like in basketball, used to, way back before we had the media and stuff, they have come to the table before and said, okay, and they've asked, you know, did hit the rim, which has to do with the shot clock, or I've seen it before, and I don't know how many times, Butch, that the basket went in, the ball went in the basket, and none of the three knew for sure that it went in. I mean, it can go in such a way that the net doesn't move. It's just maybe two of them aren't even looking at it. They're looking at something else. The one that's looking at it had a bad angle, got blocked out, and they'll turn around and they'll award two shots, and we will say the basket went in.
They actually asked you guys.
Yeah, they used to. Now they don't do that anymore because they don't have to, because they come over and it's on a replay. They can see it from, what have we got, three different angles, and when it's a TV game, you've got like
six
different angles that they can look at. But before we had all that, they would come and say, okay, you know, we're going to shoot two. And we would say, hey, the ball went in the basket. The basket was good. And, of course, one coach is going nuts and the other coach is happy. And but they would ask, but not often. And nowadays, not hardly at all will they.
They don't need to, because they can go to the instant replay camera and look at it. And sometimes they will do that. They'll come over and look at the replay to determine whether or not it's a two-point shot or a three-point shot.
Yeah, a lot of that.
And we also are getting now, because of the way the rules are, on whether a foul is a flagrant foul or not. And they will look to determine whether or not the person that was fouled had any contact was made with them above the shoulders. Now, if it's above the shoulders, it's an automatic flagrant, and that's automatic disqualification, right? So in the college ranks nowadays, but they'll come over and look just to make sure, because they want to get it right.
And I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure. Not only is it automatic disqualification, but I don't think he can play the next game.
I think you're right.
And when you get in February, if you will, mm-hmm. and 1st of March, if a kid got thrown out of a basketball game, and maybe you're in the tournament or something, and you won the first game, but now you can't even have him for the next game. I mean, that's a very serious offense, for one, but a very hurtful penalty. And so they look. Most of the time when people don't know what's going on over there, they're looking to see where the kid got hit above the shoulders, and could you see intent? You know, you can see all this. Some of it is incidental.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball is not a non-contact sport.
Not anymore.
No, it's a contact sport. There is some contact.
But there are some things that happen that are actually even worse than say, up the shoulders and above. Somebody takes somebody's legs out from underneath them, and you've got a hard floor where that person's going to come down hard, probably going to hit his head, can do some major damage.
Most of those
But it's hard to deal with, isn't
it? Intentional, but uh-huh. not flagrant.
But not flagrant.
Now, I'm sure that'll probably be addressed sometime, but that's a tough call.
While we're thinking about it, we're going to take a quick break and let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Mark Pirtle and John Howerton at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive, and that's at 2006 North Main Street in Shebaville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, give them a call at 1-800-264-6800. Or pull them up on the internet, PirtleHowerton.com. And after you get your information, take about a 25-minute drive towards Shevel on 231 South. It'll be on your left just as you get into almost into downtown Shevel. And go in and talk to the nice people, and I'm sure that you'll be happy.
We elected a good, competent man in 2008 to be Rutherford County's property assessor. Bill Boner has been fair to everyone. He is the best qualified candidate. Bill Boner has received the UT Certified Public Administrator designation, a Head Start volunteer recipient. Plus, he has been a great property assessor for 4 years. Let's re-elect Bill Boner for Rutherford County Property Assessor.
I'm Bill Boner, and I approve this message.
Before the cold winter wind blows, be sure to take care of your car. Bring it by and let us check the battery and coolant. We'll do a complete car check, look at tires, wipers, and more to make sure it's safe for the road. That's Todd's Complete Auto Care. We're on Southeast Broad Street, 962-9050.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative skilled nursing and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Health Care, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control, the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, and the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Polly Walls at the Omni Hut Restaurant. Polly, what's the most popular dinner?
The Tahitian Feast. If you're not that hungry, a lot of times they'll just do the poo-poo platter of appetizers. Bora Bora, shrimp Panamanian, egg rolls, wontons, Tahitian tidbits, Polynesian pit ribs, crab rangoon, chicken on a stick.
Rediscover the Omni Hut.
Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan.
Here it is Monday, February the 6th, and you're encouraged to give the gift of life today at the Red Cross right here in Murfreesboro. at 501 Memorial Boulevard, that's the former Chamber of Commerce location. That blood drive at the Red Cross continues until 6 o'clock tonight. Come on over and give blood. They're also offering an aphoresis collection. The blood drive is 10 to 6 at the Red Cross here in town today. That Read to Succeed Literacy Forum at the Line Ball Library, 6 until 7 o'clock tonight. Snacks included, as well as some door prizes. Also tonight, auditions for Beauty and the Beast Jr. That'll be at 6:30 at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. And this is for actors ages 18 and younger. 6:30 tonight at the Center for the Arts. The big Unity Lunch is tomorrow at MTSU's James Union Building. It begins at 11 o'clock in the morning. And the special honorees this year, Thanartis Ellis, Mary Scales, and Olivia Wood. Congratulations to all of you. The tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for students. Call Brenda Wonder at 898-2591. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
Smoked wings, barbecue, the redneck nachos, you know what I'm talking about. It's Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane. Stop on in. Each day they've got great specials for you. Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane here in Murfreesboro.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's The Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Bobby Gardner and Butch Campbell. This part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Sheffield, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb can you get free oil changes and tires for the life of that vehicle. You were directing me toward another area, Butch. So what was it you wanted to talk to?
Well, just going to get longevity maybe and some little twerks that, of course, Bobby and I do state tournament, and Mike has come along, and Mike can come in and do either one of our jobs if we have to be out for anything, and sometimes those things happen. You've been doing the book?
25.
Good night.
And I started, and in fact, the reason I got the job was because the person that was doing what I'm doing now stood up at a ball game and disagreed with the official on the floor.
Uh-oh.
And that's what cost him his job. He said the basket was good or not good, and the official said something different, and they didn't have him back. So it's a lesson to be learned. But I've been doing mine since 77, however long that is, and have enjoyed it a lot.
Have you seen a team, MTSU has really come on strong, especially with the girls now. And of course, now they're coming on strong with the guys. Have you ever seen a year where they just seem to be coming together at one time? Of course, MTSU had that one bad game the other night. But I think they're going to right in the ship, and I think they're going to really do well. It's really, to me, it's important for the community to get out and support these type of teams that you don't find too many other places. I mean, we have really got some great girls and boys teams, and the support, they should be filling these arenas here.
It's really nice, and I told Bobby a week or so ago, it's really nice to have two teams that are doing so well.
Right.
And both our men and women teams are. I think my recollection was that Monty Hale said a couple of weeks ago that this was the first time in the history of the Sun Belt that you had a men's team and a women's team both at top of the conference at the same time, which speaks a lot for Middle Tennessee basketball and the coaches and all the players as well.
You know, it speaks well for our education community here too, because you guys are both educators and have been educators, and it seems that they just kind of meld together. because you guys have always been interested in sports, and to have somebody in like you that understands the ins and outs of not only sports but officiating. But you started a long time ago, Bobby, with a relative of mine.
I did.
In Cannon County.
I
now,
sure
that does
did.
Not seem possible.
That was Mike and I went to school together.
Uh-huh.
And when Mike played football,
right,
for Coach Murphy.
Yes, he
and,
did.
Oh God, were they good. And I played basketball at, mm-hmm. at the same time.
Right.
I think we graduated like in 67, something like that, 66, 67, something like that. But and then I went in the service and came back and got my first job at Woodbury in 1971. And I was coaching the guys basketball, and Mike was coaching football.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a learning experience for me. I knew that I was very lacking in my teaching skills because I'd never been in the classroom. I just, except, you know, doing your student teaching and mm-hmm. stuff. But I thought surely I knew how to coach basketball because I'd played all my life and played in the service even. I learned the very first day, the very first day, that I went on the floor with nothing but me.
Mm.
And was going to do some sort of zone or something, whatever. And I showed the kids where to get. And then the kid asked a question. He said, but Coach, what if this? And I said, oh, yes. Now we'll go up. That's a good question. And I was going to go over that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, let's just, and I never, ever went on the floor again, not knowing exactly what I was doing, because I knew how to do my little part. But as a coach, you had to know how to do everybody's little part, and I didn't know that. So I learned a lot. Robert A., who we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. Robert A. Harris taught me a lot. Ben Cates taught me a lot. Bob Burden taught me a lot. All those guys, Mr. Pate. Watching him coach taught me a lot. My college coaches, Coach Earl, taught me a great deal. Coach Tricky, watch and learn. You know, just watch and learn, and it was really good. But I enjoyed those.
You mentioned some legends right there.
Well, yeah,
but isn't basketball coach a lot in just dealing individually with each one of these guys, learning about them, what makes them tick, and what you're going to be able to.
I looked at it like my classroom. If to me it was just that.
Mm-hmm.
It was after school. And instead of teaching algebra, I taught basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But I started out the year. I did have enough sense to do this, but I told them that if when this year is over with, if all you've learned from me is how to bounce a ball,
mm-hmm.
then I have done a woefully poor job of coaching, because there's so much more to coaching than that, and you have so much, so many opportunities to lead a young man, if you will, to in life skills and stuff. There's just so much more to it than the game, mm-hmm. and I felt that way about it. But I felt that way about it in my class too. If all they learned was algebra, then I didn't do a very good job. You know, there's more to it than that.
I know, and you don't you and Butch feel like you've been blessed to be able to teach young kids about, you know, it's an education process includes everything. Mm-hmm. It's not just in the classroom as far as the academics, but you're they're learning life skills with you guys, and mm-hmm. you know, and I can't think of a career, especially during the times that you guys started and then have come on up. Mm-hmm. When you've touched so many, and then you add on the sports part, where I can remember every coach and what they did for me in my life, and I'm sure every kid is exactly like that. Mm-hmm. You've meant so much to individuals and to the community.
Yeah, I can still remember high school coaches and what they said and the times that I was chastised, and rightfully so, mm-hmm. and learn from that. I would hope that after 40 years, and I think that's about where Butch is, I had 40 years in this teaching, that some kid somewhere along the way has done well. When you have that many kids and you're in front of that many people, there's going to be some, I'm sure, that would think probably different, but I would hope for the most part. One of our callers, Larry Stewart, I can't tell you, and Butch would also agree with this, how many lives he's touched.
Oh, I know that.
And yeah. The people in that Las Casas community where I taught for 25 years, it was just different. Butch at Walter Hill and that community, and then the Rockvale community and the Christiana community and the Kittrell and so on and so on, and Eagleville now, you know, the K-8 school that's out there that I think is just fabulous, if you will, almost the way it should be. Not that our schools aren't great, because they are. I mean, they're just so large. But
we all grew up actually, it was 1 through 12.
Yes.
Back when we didn't even have a kindergarten back then.
Right.
But those were community schools, and the teachers, where they lived there or not, were part of the community and respected part of the community.
Yeah, they were, and we have, you know, like Bobby said, we've, you know, you hope that you've touched lives down through the years. I was a student that has just stood out that I had is Greg Webb, and he played football for us at Central Middle School and went on and played at Oakland. Went to Vanderbilt. He didn't play there, I don't think, but got a degree and has done some acting, and I've kept up with him down through the years. And here I am watching this TV series the other night, Alcatraz. You ever watch that?
No.
Well, I look on the screen and here this person is that I know that's who this person is. I know that, and I told my wife, I said, Janie, I said, that's Greg Webb. No, it's not. Yeah, it is too. Well, sure enough, it was. And he had a small part, but at the same time, it's good. And you had it in law enforcement. You had those that you remember, you know, and that you will continue to remember down through the years that have done well. And then we've all have some that we know that haven't done so well, but it's been rewarding. But Bobby's talking about Larry Stewart. Man, if it hadn't been for Larry Stewart, my first few years at Walter Hill, I think they'd have put me under the bridge out there. Larry was a tremendous help to me, and I could always count on him when I needed him to give me that good advice. And as Bobby learned from other coaches, in fact, when you were coaching at Woodbury, I guess I was officiating. I know I was when Mike was doing football. And back then, I learned a lot from coaches, too, you know, particularly when you've got friends in it and you can sit down after a game or sometime and, well, now, Butch, what about this? What about? And you can look at things like that, and you learn from each other and your friends. And
You went to school with most of the officials,
except some of the
guys that who were older. And every Saturday morning at Don's Kitchen Corner, everybody met there, win or lose, you went there. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you went to AG's.
Yeah,
you know, and by the end of by midday, we had gone through all of the games, all of the calls, right or wrong, And you could say, and you could learn from that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could listen to those guys. And one of the best coaches in this county is our superintendent of schools. And I don't know. I'm assuming all of guys our age know that, but maybe some don't. But
you talking about Harry?
Oh Lord!
Yeah.
Was an excellent basketball coach. Mm-hmm. And you talk about now. He's in a position now to just touch many lives, but not on probably not like he would like in a direct way, but he came up doing it in a direct way. His brother, you know, Joe, is in education, still is, and has coached and refereed many years. But you talk about when I was coaching, and well, heck, I'd have Dickie Thomas one night and Butch one night. And, you know, I mean, I could say, gosh, Dickie, what? You know, he said, Bobby, I think that's right now, you know. And we just go on. And, heck, I could call him tomorrow, you know, the next day and say, now, are you sure that I was? And then he said, you know, I looked that up and you know, maybe you were right. Or, you know, Bobby, I was right that, you know, you need to start doing it this way. And learn from the, but we don't have that anymore. The coaches nowadays, I'm guessing, but I've observed, they don't know those guys that come in there, the gym, they don't know who they are. And we knew who everybody was. Well, again, that's been 40 years, but I knew who all the officials were.
Well, back a few years ago, we had several in Murfreesboro who officiated high school football and basketball and baseball, and they were people that you knew, that you could see during the week, I think it made a difference sometimes too, particularly with a lot of them that you could sit down and you could discuss and nobody got mad and that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, the relationships were special though.
Yes.
I mean, the roots were deep. I mean, you knew each other for many, many years. And you're right. All right, you guys probably have had a number of people in the business community that were your students.
Yes.
And whether they went on to the university or they excelled at other areas, you guys were the ones that helped mold them in those directions. And that's got to be a major part of the education process. And I think that, just like you mentioned, Bobby, LDAG.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the man had all types of connections with everybody back then, and loved everybody. And you talk about No Child Left Behind, which I put thumbs down to, but he was one of those kids. If somebody came into his store and they couldn't afford a baseball or a glove or a bat or a uniform, he took care of it.
They did it for him. And so much of that no one knew except the people, obviously, who worked there. But LD was just that way. My kids would have never had Santa Claus if it hadn't been for LDAG.
Well, I think
part of it. He let them, they played hide-and-seek underneath the clothes racks and stuff. And I'm sure he wished that they were gone, but they kicked footballs and bounced baskets. I mean, they just grew up in that store.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so good. He was so good to these, our two new schools. When was that, 71, 72?
72.
When they opened.
Right, Oakland.
And, of course, they didn't have any, a lot of funds, and they didn't have any basketball or football background or reserves, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure LD helped a great deal initially when those two schools opened.
Well, he helped us tremendously when Central Middle School opened, which was the same year that Riverdale and Oakland opened up. But he was very, and I think that has to do a lot with the difference today between the individual owner as compared to the corporate owner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the big stores, and nothing against Pro Bass and Academy and all that sort of thing, but when you get the individual owner and he's in the community or she's in the community, I think it makes a difference on how they are able to treat the community, because they can do it easier than perhaps in the corporate stores.
And they've known Granddaddy and Daddy everybody down the line.
I used to go up to LD's and I would pick out a pair of shoes for one of the boys and I would say, "Hey, I'm gonna take this home and try it on. I'll pay you if I buy it." You know, I don't think that Dick's. I tried that once, but they didn't. I don't think they'll let you do that. You know, you just can't take merchandise out of the store without paying for it. But
well, LD would, and he's done this for me. Say my grandkid would go over and pick out a bat, and he liked his bat, and LD would pull me aside. "Now, that's not a very good bat. Yeah. You don't need him to get that bat. You need him to get this bat."
Yeah.
And a lot of times it would be a cheaper bat than the one that was sitting there.
Yeah,
and he was just that way.
Worked just as well.
Yeah. Now, Butch, one of the things that I have talked to a number of teachers in the past, and some of them were thinking about going up to be a principal, which you did, and you were one of the more successful principals in the county at Walter Hill. Was that a hard decision to come out of the classroom where you're dealing directly with the children and going up to that area of the principal where you're mostly working primarily with the teachers, although you're working with the children in some respects.
Truman, at the time that I made that change, it wasn't that difficult of a decision on my part because I still had the opportunity to work with the students at Walter Hill. Mm-hmm. Of course, I left, you know, I had been at Central with 1,100 students.
Right.
But that was one thing that I made sure that I did my best to try to do was to be able to work with students and see them and collaborate with them. And whether it was talking about sports or whatever they wanted to talk about a lot of times, as long as you can get out in the building like I was able to and visit classrooms or be in the cafeteria when they come through for lunch. Nowadays, that principal doesn't have nearly as much time as what I had simply because of all of the other, quote, stuff that they have to do with evaluations and all that sort of thing. So it's it would be different today, I think, than it was back 78 when I started.
Do you think that we're starting to have too many interruptions in education and not focusing on the real things anymore that's going to matter the most about our students?
I think sometimes we are more concerned about test scores than we are about the individual child and how that child is going to react to the things we're trying to teach them. Every child is not going to go to college.
Right.
You know, and these people that are welding that we were talking about a little while ago with the building of Murphy Center and skilled jobs like that, somebody's got to do it. And sure, they can go to college and take a welding class, but a lot of these people don't have to go to college. They can learn that and a lot of other things, an occupation and something that they're going to be able to live comfortably with and doing. I think we need to get into that realm perhaps a little bit more than what we have in the last 10, 12 years anyway.
Do you think sometimes we focus too much on economics, on monetary things, rather than focus on the individuals and the students that would be best for them? You know, I was looking the other day, and they're talking about maybe taking the cap off of the size of classrooms. Now, I can't see what the value is, although they're saying there's some, but I can't see anything except a monetary type thing. And then you look at the teachers will no longer be and the principals will no longer be able to get an advanced degree, and that would be a positive thing toward raising up their level as far as their pay and everything. Is there anything in there that seems to have any particular value on what we're talking about education?
I can't see it when you're looking at increasing classroom size and also making changes in procedures. I think teachers today need to have an opportunity to teach the quote, teach the whole child, and at the same time being able, and when you do that, you're going to teach them the academics, but you're also going to teach them the life skills that they've got to have. You worked in the public for many years, and if you didn't develop some of those skills on how to work with the public, as we were talking about earlier, remember, you'd been lost, and you would not nearly have been the successful person that you have been in what you have done. And I think that's part of it too. We just got to get, I don't know, I'm glad I don't have a 5 or 6 year old child to raise today.
Yeah, it is different.
Because of all of the things that they can get into, all of the temptations that they have, much more than what you and I had in school.
Yes.
You know?
Because we all had those deep relationships that go back and knew all the families.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. It had a lot to do with it.
We want to let you know that the last part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. Melissa Warren's business is on 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And they go into your home 24/7, take care of all your duties at your home, and even run errands for you so that you can just enjoy your quality of life at home and don't have to worry about all the normal troubles that you run into during the day. And you can give them a call at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com.
Hello, my name is Lance Jenkins, candidate for property assessor. As your next property assessor, I will ensure that every property owner is treated fair and equally. I have over 17 years experience in the property assessor's office, serving from 1987 to 2004 as deputy assessor under former assessor Tommy Sanford. I would appreciate your vote for property assessor, early voting February 15th through February 28th. I am Lance Jenkins, and I approve this message, Lynn E. Jenkins, treasurer. Vote Lance Jenkins, property assessor.
If you love college basketball, there's nothing like the madness of March. If you're a fan of the Sun Belt Conference, the place to be March 3rd through the 6th is Hot Springs, Arkansas. For the 2012 Conference Basketball Tournament, ticket packages for the entire tournament are available for $128 at your local Sun Belt Schools ticket office. Don't miss out on 4 days of fun in Hot Springs, Arkansas, America's first resort. The Sun Belt's top teams will battle it out for a trip to the dance. With new rivalries being made, championships being crowned, and dreams coming true. Get your Sunbelt Conference Tournament tickets today.
Be a hero for kids with cancer. Join Bald in the Borough's second annual St. Baldrick's event on March 16th at 4 p.m. located in Lanes, Trains, and Automobiles in Murfreesboro. You can be a part of the excitement, whether you shave your head, volunteer, or donate. You'll be giving hope to those kids fighting childhood cancers. Go to baldintheborough.com and see how you can be a hero too. Sponsored by Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
You are listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Bobby Gardner and Butch Campbell. Guys, it's been a great show, and I really have enjoyed it. Is there anything that you guys would like to say to anybody out there in particular before we have to leave?
I guess one thing we need to do is thank our families for putting up with us being gone as much as we're gone sometimes, because it gets a little hectic, particularly when state tournament time rolls around in a week or so and you're going to be gone as much as we are. I really appreciate my family in that regard, and I'm sure Bobby does at the same time.
I do that, and it's gotten better than it used to be, because we used to have the substate. No, what they call that?
Had the region. Had the region. You couldn't have substate. We could have region here.
Regions. But I think now there's only, 24?
Now, when does it start, Bobby?
It starts Wednesday the 7th, I think, of March. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
21.
18, 21, 42 in 2 weeks. And then we used to have those region games and stuff. I mean, we could do as many as 50, 60 games in 2 weeks.
I believe one
weeks.
Year when we had the region here and something else, I think we had 90-something games in a three-week span.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, you worked with a lot of different officials during that time, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You were thinking of the old sectional round where they used to bring the four teams from the region tournament.
Yeah.
That lasted for 2 years.
You're right.
Substate, they called it, I think.
That was it was substate, then sectional when they went to that form, and then they just kept the name sectional but went back to the old substate.
But they could not play the substate at Murphy Center, because that was the site of
the state tournament,
and they felt like that if they played the substate at Murphy Center, then it gave those teams that played the advantage of those from, say, East, West, Middle Tennessee that had not played.
Now, is it March the 7th? Is that what you're saying?
March the 7th through the 10th is Girls State. March the 14th through the 20th?
17th. Is the guys
is boys state tournament?
There is a Well, I'm going to tell you a big change.
There is a big change. They used to start with the single-A teams, double-A, and then triple-A. But this year, they're rotating that, and my understanding is that they're going to continue to rotate that. This year, they'll start with the double-A schools, then they'll go single-A.
Triple-A. Double-A, triple-A.
I'm sorry, double-A, triple-A, and single-A, which allows those schools in the single-A brackets for more of their people to come. And I'm telling you, if you want to see a crowd, the single-A teams will bring the crowds in for ball games.
Woodbury and Livingston, or, you know, my goodness. I mean, they fill it up.
Those are the community schools. They are. That's what we were talking about earlier.
Still, you're exactly right.
And that's amazing to me the whole community will come in. Whether they're basketball fans or not, these kids are representing their community.
That's right. And they'll be there.
School is out.
That's right.
But you know, you and I, we remember when there really wasn't a classification in basketball.
That's right. No, everybody played.
You had Kittrell out there, and it was hard to beat them. I don't care how big a school you had.
True.
Well, it's been a pleasure for me, Bobby, Butch.
Me too.
It's been a lot of fun. I know the people out there enjoyed it. And we'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock.